postfix and exim. So why is Dovecot good? It should be pretty high performance. I've tried to optimize it mainly for disk I/O because that usually seems to be the first bottleneck. But it should be also pretty low CPU usage and memory usage. I have some plans to actually optimize the number of so that Dovecot would use less processes when the processes aren't really doing anything, but that's a future feature. The idea is anyway then to use even less memory. Dovecot is really configurable. It should be able to do pretty much anything, I think. And if it can't do something, you can probably implement it as a plugin. Plugins can do a lot of stuff. Like you could implement all kinds of mail storage backends like SQL or whatever. And also, it's written so that there are libraries which you can use, so you could easily build all kinds of tools with the Dovecot libraries and all kinds of new services on whatever. Like if you decide that you want to create your own IMAP 5 implementation or something, you can pretty easily do that also. I've also thought about maybe creating some kind of scripting plugin or something, or scripting, or maybe anyway use so that you don't, if you wanted to create plugins or some other stuff, you could use some scripting language like, I don't know, Python or whatever. But well, I haven't yet done that, but I don't think it would be difficult. Dovecot is pretty easy to migrate to from pretty much any other IMAP or PUP3 server because it can be configured to kind of emulate everything the old server did, like all of the namespaces and, well, mainly the namespaces, I guess. And also, there are tools that allow you to do the actual data migration in a way that preserves everything, the IMAP UIDs and PUP3 UIDLs and everything like that, so clients don't necessarily even notice that you are switching to another IMAP server. And I've tried to make Dovecot as admin-friendly as possible. Like, there are the error messages that Dovecot logs. The idea is that if you see an error message, it's supposed to be an actual real error that the sysadmin is supposed to do something about, like maybe if sysadmin can't figure out why it's happening, maybe it's a Dovecot bug and maybe you should report it to me and maybe I can look at it and see if I should do something about that. So your error log should always stay empty of errors. Maybe there are some warnings, but that's all. I've tried to make the error messages as easy to understand as possible so that the idea is that people wouldn't be asking me, what does this error message mean? The idea is that you should already know it by reading the error message. But of course, there are some people who somehow can't seem to understand what they are reading. Like some guy asked me, copy and pasted error message, what does this mean? And I just copy and paste part of the error message as a reply and nothing else. And then he says, okay, thanks. And great. Also, there are some error messages which are like permission denied related, and Dovecot will actually look at, like Dovecot will also include, it doesn't just say that permission denied, it says like permission denied, and then it tells exactly what permission is missing from what file or directory. And if it can't figure out what's missing, then it says that maybe you have some kind of SE Linux messing around and not allowing Dovecot some access. Dovecot usually at least attempts to fix if there are any kind of problems with Well, hopefully there aren't any corruption problems because of bugs, but anyway, Dovecot usually tries to fix if it sees something wrong. So, the new features in 2.1, like one is this statistics gathering. 2.1 has this stats process which keeps track of a lot of stuff related mainly to the idea is that you would be able to get kind of overview of what your server is doing, like why is it using this much CPU, why is it using this much I/O, and which user is using the most I/O and stuff like that. So what it keeps track of is this user and system CPU usage and related stuff. And then if you have a new enough Linux kernel version, it uses the procpit I/O, which means that it gives you like the real actual I/O that your server is doing, like so that it doesn't include if Dovecot is reading data from operating system cache, it doesn't include that as the real I/O. But this requires somewhat new Linux kernel, and I don't think other operating systems supported it at all. And then if you don't have that, and maybe for other reasons also, Dovecot is also tracking all kinds of this mail data-related syscalls, and also like how many bytes it's reading. And here, when it means like if you have, like it might say that, okay, it has read 100 megabytes of data, but it could be that all of that already came from operating system cache, so it wasn't really actually doing any disk reading. Also, it gives you a number of cache hits in Dovecot's cache file, and while writing this, I realized that there should probably be also cache misses, but maybe to next version. And the way it works is that you have to load this stats plugin. Without loading it, it's not enabled by default because it, of course, uses extra CPU memory, and maybe if you don't need it, you don't have to use it. For each IMAP connection or PUB3 connection, which is kind of session, called session, it sends updated values every few seconds. I think the default is 30 seconds, every 30 seconds or something. Then you can, for IMAP protocol, you can also enable IMAP stats plugin, which can give you like for each command, like how much disk I/O this specific IMAP command used. Stats, of course, this uses a lot of memory if this is done like indefinitely, so you can configure how much memory the stats process is using approximately, and then when it reaches the limit, it starts like deleting all the old stuff, starting from those per command statistics and based on some other configuration, also the other stuff. And then there's a way you can extract all of this data using DAVADM stats dump command, which gives you output which should be pretty easy to parse with scripts and whatever. There's also, I wrote this stats top script using Perl, which gives a really nice top type of program that like refreshes every few seconds and shows which users are using the most disk I/O. And you can, since it's a Perl script, you should be able to pretty easily make it do exactly what you want. But still, it would be nice if there would be like a better viewer program so that you could kind of interactively see that, okay, which you could first like see that, okay, this the whole server is using this much disk I/O and this much CPU, and then if you could see like maybe a nice graph from it, and then you could maybe like zoom into some specific part, like you see a spike, what's happening here, you go there and you could zoom that and see that, okay, this user was using this much I/O at this point, and then you could look at the user like and see that, okay, it was some IMAP process that was using that much disk I/O, and then you could maybe even see that, okay, it was this IMAP search command that was using the I/O. So something like this would be really nice, but it's not really, I'm not really good at writing that kind of program, so it would be nice if someone else wrote it someday. Then another change. In 2.1, I am only recommending 2 full-text search backends, Solr and Seelucine, and I've pretty much given up on fixing the squat support. It's just too slow and complex and something. It would be easy to implement other full-text search backends if you want. Like I once considered writing Xapian support, but then didn't. But if anyone wants to, it should be somewhat easy. And I can always help. And in previous Dovecot versions, the full-text search wasn't really used for all of the IMAP search commands where it could have been used, and those commands were really slow because they weren't looked up from the FTS index, but now it should work pretty much perfectly. And you can now also attach index attachment data, like you can put all of the attachments through a script, and the script will convert the attachment to UTF-8 text, and that way it can support pretty much any data types you want. The script that comes with Dovecot can handle mostly stuff like Word documents and PDFs and something like that, using some external programs. Then there's also the new IMAP fuzzy extension, which means you can just tell Dovecot to fuzzily search, and pretty much the only thing it does is that Dovecot tells either Lucene or Solr that I want this search to be a little bit fuzzy instead of exact word match. This is kind of almost there, but not exactly there. So desync-based replication is what I'm currently mainly working on. And what desync is that with desync's whole idea, well, desync can do a lot of things, actually. But the main thing it does is you have 2 mailboxes, and the idea is to merge those mailboxes into one, so that the both mailboxes will, at the end of desync, look exactly the same. And it will do it so that if, like, one side had added some mails, and then those added mails are added to the other side, and if the other side had deleted some mails, then those will be deleted from the other side also. And in 2.2, it's even more... even better, like it can also do merging of flag changes, so that like if you have in this server you have set like for example scene flag to this one specific mail, and in the other one you have set answered flag, and then you run desync, and then it kind of the end result is that both have those scene and answered flags instead of just one side winning and the other flag being removed. So that's pretty much what desync does. And the replication idea is that there's, at least currently, there's really no continuous replication. But it's the whole idea of the replication plugin and server and everything related to that is that Dovecot will just run desync for users when the users' mailboxes have changed in some way. so that the nice thing is that it doesn't really matter that if the two sides of the replication, if there's network outage or something, it doesn't really matter, because after the outage has ended, then Dovecot will just run the desync and it will merge the changes regardless of how many there have been. So I think there are probably also many ways to implement this replication, but I've mainly been thinking of two ways. Like, one is this kind of NFS cluster, and other is where you are running desync in between multiple data centers. And there's this Dovecot blog where you can, if you want to read about the details of how it works, and these two images are also in there. So I don't know if you can see these very well, but you can also find these images from the blog. So this is the NFS-based replication idea that you have here. You have these Dovecot proxies, and the proxies, of course, first the connection goes to load balancer. Load balancer puts it to some Dovecot proxy, and the Dovecot proxy decides which of these backend servers the connection goes. And the backend server kind of is configured to, for example, you could have two NFS storage systems, and desync could be replicating from this storage to this storage as a secondary storage. So as long as things are working, you would be using the primary storage, and then if that storage breaks, and then like if Dovecot starts seeing that, okay, read operations are failing with I/O error, then Dovecot would decide that, okay, stop using this storage, start using this other one. This is the other way. If you have, you have two Dovecot servers in different data centers, or you could have you could have as many data centers as you want and have desync replicate between them. Currently, it can do it over SSH connection. It would be really simple to add simple TCP or TCP SSL or something like that. And, the failover stuff. I already somewhat talked about that. But in this kind of geographically based desync cluster, I guess the idea would be that if you want to make it also like highly available, maybe the easiest would be that you still have some Dovecot proxies there, and then if you are like big enough, I guess you can figure out using BGP or something to figure out how to get the connection to Dovecot proxy regardless of network errors, and then the Dovecot proxy can figure out which backend in which data center to proxy to the connection. And of course it could do it, and probably it should prefer the local backend, the proxy, so that it wouldn't be unnecessarily proxying to the other side of the world. So that's what I was thinking about that. So why to use desync replication instead of, usually I guess block-level replication is used. I'm not really block-level replication expert, but I guess I think these are pretty much the reasons why it should be, or some problems with block-level replication. Well, at least if you have file system corruption, then you have dummy replication, then of course the file system corruption is also replicated, and that's not very nice. If there's some desync, if Dovecot data files are corrupted, then at least ideally they would have some checksum so that desync would see that, okay, some checksum isn't matching, so it wouldn't be replicating corrupted email data. But, well, that kind of checksum doesn't exist right now for message bodies, but Desync would still at least notice that if there's some metadata corruption, that something's not really right here. And then I guess this next one depends on what kind of block level replication you use, but I guess the worst situation could be that, okay, you have to replicate like 2 terabytes to the other side, to the other replica, because the replication thing doesn't really know what changed, so it would have to like replicate everything, or at least read through everything. But Desync would be, Desync knows, can pretty quickly see what has changed since the last time, so it would, this cold restart would be much simpler, easier, faster with Desync. Also, one great thing, split brain, so that if you have complete like Dovecot in 2 different, like in Europe and in America, it doesn't matter if the network connection works between them. You could just as well still have the same mailbox modified in America and the same mailbox modified in Europe. And after the network connection comes up back, then Dovecot just merges all those changes. Desync merges all those changes nicely. There's no downtime and no data loss. And I don't think there's any way to do that with block level replication, because it would pretty much just have to decide that, okay, use this and delete this other data. And this also means you can kind of implement this multi-master mode, that kind of America-Europe type of asynchronously. So 2.2 Desync, I redesigned it completely. It should be working much better now with this new idea. The old idea was there was 1 desync brain and 2 workers, and the brain kind of just tells the dummy workers what to do, and that kind of worked, but it had problems. So the new idea is that you have 2 brains in 2 desyncs, and both are just exporting changes to the other one, which is importing them and exporting its own changes to other side. And it's kind of like algorithmic kind of import-export. It's somewhat nice, and it seems to work pretty well. And with 2.2, you can, like already with 2.1, you could run like full desync and then like this desync only the mailboxes that changed, but it would still like have to send all of the mails metadata. Like if you have 1,000 mails, it would have to send metadata for 1,000 mails. But in 2.2, it's also this kind of stateful sync where you can, after desync, save the current state in a pretty small string and then later give that to desync, and it would know that, okay, this is the other side's current state, so only send exactly those changes that happened since last time. So that should be pretty optimal. Desync can run in either, like you can have Desync can optimize for either latency or bandwidth. So it would be possible to use Desync so that it just simply like export the changes, and all of the message bodies will be sent regardless. Maybe the other side already has those message bodies, maybe not, but doesn't matter. Like Desync could just send everything and doesn't matter, like it doesn't wait what the other side says. It just sends everything in 1 export, and then the importing side just imports everything and then starts exporting its stuff to the other side again. So it doesn't really matter if the latency is like 1 millisecond or 1 year or whatever. And this can also be used to implement this kind of backups, incremental backups, because it's basically just exporting data to, I don't know, tape or whatever. Okay, my time is pretty much out, and this is actually, IMAP adapter, I already talked about that last year, so the idea is that you could have this kind of a Dovecot proxy in front of Exchange or Gmail or something, and some other IMAP server anyway, and main place where it's currently used is there's this one Finnish university which is really happy to use IMAP adapter in front of Exchange IMAP, so that all of the IMAP users are now much happier, because apparently they had a lot of problems with Exchange IMAP, especially for shared mailboxes. And while developing this, I noticed also that it's weird how badly Exchange can just sometimes, like, there's, it just somehow messes up its internal state. And the only thing I can do is that Dovecot realizes, okay, now it's completely messed up, and Dovecot has to disconnect and reconnect and figure out the state again. And it does this transparently so that the real IMAP client doesn't even notice that Dovecot had to do all of this work. And using this IMAP adapter, and I guess you could call this other PUP3C as PUP3 adapter and desync, you can do a perfect migration, preserving everything from some other IMAP or PUP3 server to Dovecot. And last, I've become interested in Sogo, which integrates this OpenChange, which implements completely open source MAPI support. So, which means that if you combine Dovecot, Sogo, and OpenChange, you get fully open source Exchange replacement, so that you could have Outlook natively connect to Dovecot. And the idea is that my company is thinking about creating some kind of easy-to-install package, so that maybe we could start selling it as an Exchange replacement or something. And that's all. Questions? That's a picture of a Dovecot. Okay, well, there's a mic coming. Also, you can ask questions from me after this.
I have a question. You talked about that you can have two different mailboxes, one in maybe America and one in Germany. So, and if the network connection is broken between them, and now somebody maybe will answer a specific mail in Germany, and somebody in America do it also with the same mail. So Dovecot will copy this into the send. Box in the send folder, and now you have two mails, and the text, the body is different. How did you think it? Because there's a collision between these two mails. Is this the last change wins?
Well, that's pretty. I think you are talking like the same. It's the same idea as if two completely new emails arrive.
You have an email in your inbox, and it's what's doing to lunch or something like this, and then somebody in Germany answer it's a great idea to going to lunch, and the other man in America answer on the same email, and so you have the answer will save in your sandbox or in your
That means like the client, it saves, in both cases, the client saves a mail to send mailbox.
Yes.
Right. So it's still kind of, there are, both sides have one new email. And Dovecot sees that, okay, they have different global UIDs, and because they don't match the global UIDs, Dovecot sees that, okay, but they still probably have the same IMAP UID number. So Dovecot sees that, okay, same IMAP UID number, but different global UIDs, so it gives new IMAP UID numbers for both of them, and, well, that's pretty much it.
Yes, I understand. Okay, thank you.
Okay. more. I guess not.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Genau so zu hören. Vielen Dank. Thank you very much.
Ja, mich doch nicht.
Ja, wenn keine weiteren Fragen mehr sind, dann dicken Applaus bitte.